You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Don Guerra. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, March 7th, 2017.
I think there are many people who have the perception that with healthcare reform, everyone is now insured, or virtually everyone is now insured. And the sad reality is that hundreds of people in the Bloomington area and thousands across the country are still falling through the cracks.
Nancy Richmond from Volunteers in Medicine discusses a continued problem with uninsured Hoosiers later in the show in today's WFHB Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, we hear about rehab services for people who experience traumatic brain injuries. That's on Everyday People, a weekly segment aimed at improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County. But first, these local headlines.
The Bloomington Plan Commission gave a favorable review to plans for a multifamily development at 2182 West Tap Road in its meeting last night. Last night's review included clarification on a request from the city for a 30-year commitment to include workforce housing in the development. Workforce housing units are cheaper to rent and are set aside for people with relatively low incomes. Attorney Mike Carman, speaking on behalf of developer Regency Consolidated, said a further discussion is needed on a new request from the city to extend the workforce housing commitment to 99 years.
In terms of that, the final nuances on a couple of those things is a matter we would like the opportunity to discuss with council as part of that, because it ultimately is beyond just this petition, actually. I mean, if this is the standard, the expectation, it's broader than just this petition, and it to me is really a policy issue. So that is a matter that the commitment of the units, and for duration, we had set it at 30 years. If it needs to go to 99, that's an item, that differential is an item we'd like to be discussing with the council as a policy issue, and we look forward to do that.
Developers have agreed to designate 10% of the units as workforce housing. That comes out to 12 units out of 111 dedicated as workforce housing. Additionally, the commission expressed concern in last month's meeting about the lack of public transportation on Tap Road. Commission member Isabel Piedmont-Smith brought up the issue again in last night's discussion of handicap accessibility.
I also think it's unfortunate we don't have bus service to this area, but I do want to remind everyone that BT access is available for anybody who lives within the city limits. So somebody who is handicapped in any way can call Bloomington Transit and have the access bus pick them up.
The commission's favorable recommendation only covers expanding the use of the existing planned unit development to include multifamily residences. Ultimately, a site plan will have to be reviewed and approved for the development to go forward.
37 Indiana University Bloomington graduates are volunteering with the Peace Corps in 20 different countries this year. This number of graduates ranks IU as the 21st largest contributor to the Peace Corps among American colleges and universities, and the 8th among Big Ten universities. The Peace Corps is a government-run program that immerses volunteers in communities around the world to help solve problems. This involvement aligns with IU's Bicentennial Strategic Plan to promote international engagement. The Peace Corps began in 1961. 1,675 IU graduates have volunteered with the program since its creation.
Devour B-Town has announced that third annual 14-day dining event, which will start Monday, March 20th, and continue through Sunday, April 2nd. Devour B-Town allows Bloomington residents to take advantage of three-course, value-priced menus at more than 25 participating restaurants in the area. The list contains vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free dining options. These special meal deals will be offered at dining establishments such as The Tap, No Cost Reserve, and Yogi's. For the complete list and more information, check out devourbtown.org.
House Republicans have released the text of their plan to dismantle President Obama's Affordable Care Act. The ACA has been the target of 7 years of Republican ire, and the House voted to repeal it more than 50 times before Obama left office. The new bill would undo many of the measures that Republicans oppose the most, included the individual mandate and subsidized insurance for poor Americans. Some elements of the ACA would be preserved. Children would still be able to remain on their parents' insurance policy until age 26, and insurers would still be unable to discriminate against people with pre-existing illnesses. But House Republicans also want to roll back the ACA's expansion of Medicaid coverage beginning in 2020. Over 30 states chose to expand Medicaid based on increased federal spending. Included in that number is Indiana's HIP 2.0 program, of which 90% is funded by the federal government. Loss of that funding would likely compromise states' ability to maintain that higher level of coverage. Despite state-level Republicans' discomfort with losing federal funding, many congressional Republicans are already opposing the House bill for not going far enough. Senator Rand Paul has already hit the cable news circuit, decrying the bill as Obamacare light for not going far enough.
And they should know that the proposal that's coming out of the House is Obamacare light. It includes new taxes on health insurance. It includes an individual mandate. Instead of paying the penalty to the government, you'll have to pay a penalty to the insurance company. Mm. And it also includes a new entitlement. This new entitlement may be bigger than the Obamacare subsidies. That needs to be debated because many conservatives in the House and the Senate were not excited about Obamacare light. We want to repeal it.
The bill would also repeal the individual and employer mandates, which levy tax penalties against individuals who don't buy coverage and employers who refuse to provide coverage for employees. Proponents of the ACA say that measure was critical to the function of a market where insurers couldn't deny coverage to sick people. Without it, low-income Americans would have no incentive to buy insurance until they get sick. Many insurers have already dropped out of the individual markets, citing a sicker client base than they were expecting. Finally, the repeal would redirect money away from income-based insurance subsidies and into tax credits based on age. Instead of receiving help paying for coverage based on having a low income, tax credits would be denied to younger Americans and awarded to older ones. Even higher income Americans would receive credits if they were old enough to qualify. This policy is likely to result in many needy Americans losing access to coverage. The Congressional Budget Office has yet to release their report on the full effects of repeal. The bill will now enter what is likely to be a slow process of committee-level debate ahead of any possible vote. We'll hear more about health care and the Affordable Care Act in just a moment. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Don Guerra. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar-powered generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Since long before the passage of Obamacare, Bloomington's own Volunteers in Medicine has been providing free care to people who can't otherwise afford it. And despite the health care law, the free clinic continues to see many clients. To find out more, WFHB News Director Joe Crawford spoke with the Executive Director of Volunteers in Medicine, Nancy Richman. We'll hear a portion of their conversation now for today's WFHB Community Report.
Reporting for WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford. I'm joined in the studio today by Nancy Richman. She is the executive director at Volunteers in Medicine, which has a mission to provide free medical care to the underserved in Monroe and Owen counties. Nancy, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Joe.
I wanted to talk because there's been so much discussion about the Affordable Care Act lately. And of course, in his first speech before Congress, Donald Trump renewed his calls to repeal and replace the ACA. Understandably, there's been pushback from the other side. Democrats have talked a lot about the good things that the law has done, and it's now regularly mentioned that about 20 million people gained health insurance as a result of the Affordable Care Act, sometimes also referred to as Obamacare. So I'm wondering, can you just tell us from the perspective of volunteers in medicine, which again has been providing care to the uninsured since long before the Affordable Care Act was in place, what changes have you seen as a result of this law?
Well, initially, when I first got to volunteers in medicine, we saw everyone who was uninsured. And there's always been a Healthy Indiana plan, which provided essentially Medicaid services for people living in the poverty level. Originally, that had a budgetary cap on it. And so people without children, there were only so many who could actually get insurance through the Healthy Indiana plan. And when Healthy Indiana Plan 2.0 came into effect, that cap was lifted. And so many, many people got insured through the Healthy Indiana plan, which was part of the Affordable Care Act law. So between the Medicaid expansion and the marketplace subsidized insurance plans through the Affordable Care Act, we did see many, many, many people get insurance. Since then, it's interesting, though, we have also seen many people either lose their insurance through Healthy Indiana plan or find the options for them unaffordable. This is a really interesting and concerning time right now. I think there are many people who have the perception that with healthcare reform, everyone is now insured, or virtually everyone is now insured. And the sad reality is that hundreds of people in the Bloomington area and thousands across the country are still falling through the cracks. In fact, last year, over 70% of volunteers and medicine patients are U.S. citizens that are eligible for insurance but still remain uninsured. And part of how that happens is, one, people are eligible for subsidized marketplace plans and feel like even with that, the subsidies, it is unbelievably expensive for people who are living at 138% federal poverty level. That is not a lot of money if you're paying deductibles and premiums and copays. Another reason why people are still uninsured is that with the Healthy Indiana plan, if an individual misses a power account payment, which is what the premiums of the HIP plans are called, they actually get kicked off the plan and they're locked out for 6 months. Means they start off with insurance, they get a primary care doctor, they start with that doctor, and then if they get kicked off, they're now uninsured again without a doctor, and so they come back to volunteers in medicine. Also, if a person has a household income under the poverty level, they can't actually get kicked off of the plan, but they can be demoted from HIP Plus to HIP Basic, which means instead of paying the premiums, you pay as you go. So now you have copays for medications, for doctor's visits, and many people just can't afford that. So all those people are still falling through the cracks.
To be clear, if I understand correctly, you're not saying that it was better when there was no Affordable Care Act or there was no HIP 2.0, or are you saying that?
No, absolutely not. I mean, in fact, many, many people have become insured. I just think there are some affordability issues that it doesn't go far enough so that people are still falling through the cracks. But it's been a huge improvement. And I'm grateful that Indiana has at least some form of Medicaid expansion, because there are some states that people living in poverty are simply dying because they have absolutely no options for medical care.
Yeah, so we at least have HIP 2.0 as compared to someplace where if a person was sort of below the threshold to purchase insurance on the Affordable Care Act exchange, they might simply have no option.
Nothing. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what has this done to the number of people who are coming in to volunteers in medicine? Because you're providing care to people who otherwise would probably have not be getting it at all. Have you seen fewer people because there are more people being covered through the Affordable Care Act?
We have. In the last 2 years, we have seen a drop in the numbers of people. Interestingly, that number is going up again because of the cracks that are widening in the healthcare reform system. And those cracks, as I look forward, are I can see only widening further and our numbers going even more dramatically back up. When we started having fewer people coming to VIM, we were thinking about what is it that people need to really create health and wellness, and realize that it's well beyond a medical intervention, and that people living in poverty or lacking resources or homeless but insured, when you go to a private medical provider, you get your treatment and your medications for your illness. But they still have issues like where to store their medications if they don't have a home. How do you get transportation to get your medications? What about the stress of being without a job or losing your utilities for lack of ability to pay for them? There are all these social issues that actually exacerbate medical conditions. And that's not being addressed in a private medical practice. So volunteers in medicine still, we have many, many patients for whom we're providing free medical care, but we also have people with insurance for whom we are providing what we call health support services. So that might be somebody who needs housing in order to get a surgery to get them off the street and give them a safe, sterile place to live while they're recovering, because there are no medical respite beds in this community. Or it might be giving people transportation passes or helping them with healthy foods or even basic health education. And at the same time, we expanded our dental clinic because even with Healthy Indiana Plan, there's virtually no coverage for dental. There's a very small amount that's barely tip of the iceberg.
Like so many other organizations, you have a mission, it seems, to ultimately put yourself out of business. In the ideal scenario, volunteers of medicine would not have to exist. There would not be so many underserved people who need free medical
care.
Absolutely. So where are the holes in the system that you think need to be fixed? What changes could be made that would mean so that we don't need a volunteers in medicine?
Well, perhaps two things. One is that we really believe that healthcare is a fundamental human right, not a privilege based on income or citizenship status or ability to navigate a complicated system. So some form of universal healthcare is, I think, the only way that would begin to put free clinics out of business. But more than that, that has to address the social determinants of illness. And that has to do with issues related to poverty, housing, employment. Because, as I was saying earlier, being insured only gets you medical care. It doesn't get you housing or doesn't get you a job at a living wage that then, you know, can maintain affordable housing and your family and healthy foods and so forth. I think the two have to go together. I think as long as there's poverty, there will be a need for free clinics.
I've been speaking with Nancy Richmond. She's the executive director at Volunteers in Medicine. And Nancy, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Coming up next, WFHB's weekly community resources segment, Everyday People.
Don't mess around. I got eyes all over town.
Welcome to Everyday People, improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County.
Everyday resources for everyday people. Connecting our community by sharing resources you need, want, and probably don't know about.
We're here today with Jean Kapler with Rehab Hospital of Indiana. Welcome, Jean.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, Jean, tell us a little bit, one, about the name of the hospital. Mm-hmm. I had a little trouble with the pronunciation. So if you could share that with us and just tell us what that is.
Sure. So the Rehabilitation Hospital of Indiana, we have a hospital that's actually based in Indianapolis for people who have had some sort of injury that requires some extensive inpatient rehabilitation. And so oftentimes those are folks who've had a brain injury of some sort or a spinal cord injury or maybe a burn or something that's happened to their vision from an injury. It's a chance to really do some intensive rehab mm-hmm. within a hospital setting. But then we have this really different program in the hospital, which is statewide and community-based, and that's resource facilitation. We have staff that work with clients who have had any sort of a brain injury, and so we're talking traumatic brain injury, mm-hmm. stroke, some sort of low oxygen event like a near drowning or maybe a heart attack where circulation stops or a drug overdose, even brain tumors. We mm-hmm. have all kinds of folks who are trying to get back to work or school after that injury. So we provide a number of resources to help them navigate services, because when you've had a brain injury, it gets a little harder to keep track of all of that.
Right. And even for people who don't suffer from that, it's very confusing to navigate all of the systems.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so all of us, even folks who have not had a brain injury, we have sort of a maximum capacity for our brain sometimes, depending on how much sleep we got, how distracted we are. But when you've had a brain injury, the real basic functioning of memory and attention and processing and problem solving and even regulating our emotions, if the circuitry that controls that has been damaged in some way, everything gets harder. What we try to do is build in lots of supports for folks and help them get into the specialist they need to see to get the right treatment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's with a speech therapist that actually does more than just speech. It's more cognitive rehabilitation, ways to work on memory and attention. And our program actually works real closely with Indiana Vocational Rehabilitation. They're kind of the first stop for all kinds of services if someone's had some sort of disability and wants mm-hmm. to get back to work. So they then bring us in to do our thing, and we kind of work with the rest of the team, someone helping them find jobs, and we're over here helping them deal with finding insurance, finding the right specialist, even, we've had folks that are on the verge of being homeless, and we work on housing issues, just whatever practical needs that people have.
Is there a cost for the service or the supports?
What's really cool is that the federal and state government feels it's really important to get folks with any sort of disability back to work.
Sure.
So they give Indiana Voc Rehab money mm-hmm. to do those services. And so they're the ones that pay for us. The client, the person, doesn't actually have any cost, and there's no insurance hoops to jump through. A lot of the folks that we work with, they had their injury years ago. Even decades ago sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
And they've been
amazing.
Struggling along.
And just kind of discover that, hey, I can get these
And so
help.
One of the things that I love about my job is I do sort of the community outreach part. And so I'm educating people in mental health centers, drug treatment centers, pretty much anybody who will listen to me. Areas on aging, community groups, psychotherapists, whoever. And I'm training those folks on how to screen for brain injury, because they may be working with clients that are struggling.
And don't even know.
And don't even know they have a brain injury. And so screen, then they can get them into services. Mm-hmm. I'll help them get to Indiana Vocational Rehab. And then we can get some things going.
Well, how do people access your services? What's the easiest way?
Probably the easiest way would be to either call me directly at 812-325-6342. Or you can email me at jean.caplerr@rhin.com.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday People.
Tune in next week for more information and resources that connect everyday people to everyday resources. For WFHB, I'm Courtney Stewart.
And I'm Stacey Goffinet.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Jared Dill, Sheila Raghavendran, and Tara Fahimi, along with Sarah Vaughn. for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Joe Crawford.
Everyday People is produced by Courtney Stewart and Stacey Goffinay. Our engineer is Matt Griffin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at wfhb.org.
And you can be part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes Store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.